We need sound effects at this point, innit?
Are you doing Dry January?
I think I am, you know. I think, yeah, I think so, bruv. Like, I had a pretty heavy New Year's day, yeah, so it was like,
started... So no, first of January, straight in.
I had a pretty heavy New Year's day, right? So this year I was like, I decided to skip New Year's Eve for the first time in like 15 years.
Yeah.
Didn't work. Reason was, we just decided to do it completely different, man. I don't know if it's because I'm getting old or not, but New Year's Day does seem way more enticing, like doing the daytime thing. So yeah, I had a big turn up on New Year's Day. And then I was like, right, that's now my Dry January starts today. I think so, bruv. Like, I'm not even, do you know what it is? I'm not even a drinker like that anymore, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like, I still drink, but like, if I go back 10 years ago, I would be getting, I'd be getting licked 3-4 nights a week.
I want to say I'm the same, but we both know I've done it the other way around. 10 years ago, I was pretty much teetotal. This last year, I've just been off the rails.
Double set a new trend, you know. This guy didn't start drinking until he was over 30. brother, I remember rolling around some venues when I was like between like 18 and 21. When I first started DJing, I first realized that you could get free drinks and shit. I was like,
Don't get me wrong. I'd have a turn up, but... No, it just wasn't regular.
Okay.
I mean, the reason I wasn't even going to talk about drinking. The reason I asked about Dry January is I was
kicked it off now, mate. Yeah. Flip your neck.
I was just going to mention about how actually dry January is for DJing.
How dry. Okay. Dry. I like the play on words. Yeah, very clever, mate.
You see what I did there?
It took me a second to clock that. Do you know what? Yeah, it's... I don't know whether I got lucky this year or what, but for the first time ever, January's actually been okay for me, man. But this is like a first. Like, normally I'll go away for Jan and do you know what I mean? Get the brain together, get the mental right, take a little break before the year starts, because our Christmas running is always a bit mad. So January's normally like time for a trip, time for a holiday with a wifey, whatever. But this year, it's just not happened, man. So for whatever reason, the work's coming in, man, but I'm not complaining, bruv.
Love that for you.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what? It probably is because I had to cancel my holiday this year.
Okay.
That's maybe while I'm just feeling like January is dragging out, bruv.
Yeah, and I hear that.
Like the last few years, obviously excluding the pandemic, the last few years, January has been kind of quiet anyway, just normally it is.
Yeah, 100.
Different, when I had 500 residencies a week, majority of them ran through January as well, so it was cool.
He's not lying, you know, guys.
500 a week.
Double was playing 3 residencies a night at one point.
in eight different countries, everywhere.
Do you know what? Yeah, I gotta give it to the youngins. But see that, yeah. Now that I'm older and I look back and I see the new DJs coming through, and it's like, yo, 79 gigs in 6 days, like, and I'm here for it, yo. I think it's sick. But bruv, could I do that now? Hell no, like.
You know what? I think
you remember that rat. I call it the rat race, bro. Like the
rat race. Yeah.
Call it the rat race. Not even in a negative way, but like when you're coming up, like that's what it's like. It's gung ho. It's like, yo, man will do 90 gigs this week. I'm everywhere. I'm on it. Burnout pending, but the peas are coming in. I'm saying.
Yeah. You know what? I actually had a conversation with someone about this recently, and I think just leading up to the pandemic, pre-pandemic. I had a lot of residencies like all over the place. I'm also doing guest sets absolutely everywhere. And I was basically trying to get myself around the country as much as possible. Okay. And I'll be honest, I think in hindsight, I think that was a little bit of a mistake.
Really?
Yeah, because what you've done is slightly different. You've done the active thing and you've been everywhere, but you've got Manchester on lock and you've been able to start your own event off of your own fan base in Manchester right now. And smash it, and now you've got Compound, which sells out every single one you put on. I think that's the correct way to do it. I think rather than, and this is a mistake I see a lot of DJs make, which I have made as well. What they're trying to do, everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people are trying to be the superstar DJ, and they're trying to come across on social media as well. Like they're super active. Like I'm in this town and I'm in that town and I'm here and I'm there and I'm everywhere. I'm everywhere. Cool. Look, I'm super in demand.
But is it a lot of it trying to project perception of like looking like you're doing a lot? And really, it's not as a lot as it really is. Do you know what I'm saying?
But you know what? They're not building a fan base. Or if they are building a fan base, they're building an online fan base, which they can't really monetize or capitalize on. And this is where I'm saying I've made a mistake. I've got quite a large fan base, which I'm grateful for. The problem is they're scattered everywhere.
Yeah, 100.
So I might only have 10 people in one particular town. Well, that means I can't put on a headline show in that town because only 10 people are coming because only 10 people in that town really know who DJ Double R. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things I've always said, like, I can go to an established night and absolutely shell it off. And every single person in that club are having the best night they've ever had in that club. I'm very confident of that. But what I can't do is turn up in that same town on a night where there's nothing going on and put on a headline show and sell it out.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, it's a
from complete... even the same people that would be in the club wouldn't come out for a headline show that's just on a dry night where there's nothing else open. Do you know what I mean?
But like, it depends on your route as well, bruv. Like, I've always kind of done events from like earlier on. So I feel like we already had that. Obviously, there's fans there and stuff, but we had a solid brand that ran when we were young. So I feel like having that structure of a fan base behind us, like in the events world, definitely helps. Because like you can have DJ fans, but does that equate to people buying a ticket to come to a show? Do you know what I'm saying? I kind of fucked up a little bit in kind of the same way you were saying. Like I was doing the whole traveling thing. I ended up taking on like strong residencies over in Liverpool, and I spent 4 or 5 years of my career building a base over there to the point where, yo, Manny forgot about me, bro. I wasn't in the streets here. I wasn't outside. And like after lockdown, and it was going through lockdown, and that was when I realized like I really need to re-engage my city, man. Like this is where I live. This is my heart. 100%. Like this is where I am every single day of the week. So like it was a conscious decision. Obviously, we started building Compound in lockdown. It was a conscious decision coming out of it to allow all these residencies like around Liverpool and these other spaces come back to Manny and really just get my feet back into work, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like showing my face at the spots, maneuvering around, hitting all these little networks. The same thing I was doing years before lockdown, but I kind of just... It's easy to just lose your way in this game, man. And I definitely went down that route, chasing the bag, chasing the gigs. And in reality, it wasn't the right decision.
I don't think it's losing your way because I don't feel at any point I've lost my way. What I have been able to do, which is sick, is I've been able to build a very strong network of promoters and events that will book me all around the country. So it's sick for me because even now, like this year, there's a lot of traveling. Obviously, I've got the tours and stuff with the artists, but I've also got a lot of DJ double bookings coming up where I'm traveling about a lot, which is sick.
The point
I'm making is what I can't do right now this second, I can't go back to Brighton and put on a headline show and sell out a club based off the fact that everyone's going to go, oh, sick, DJ double's here tonight. He's the Brighton guy. Do you know what I mean? I can't do that right now. And the reason I can't do that is because I haven't sat down in Brighton and built my fan base properly.
I've spread
myself out across the whole country and networked with the promoters. I think there's a balance. I think you got the balance right because you do all the guest sets everywhere, but you've managed to keep your local fan base and you've done Compound. Like, so you've managed to do the balance very well, but I've not done the balance well.
I don't know, man. Like, bro, don't get it twisted, yeah. It was only a couple of years back. Remember some of the phone conversations we had? Bro, I was in the mud not long ago.
But still, you still managed to capitalize on your brand in Manchester as the Manchester guy. Manchester artists come to you, do you know what I mean? All the Manchester music heads, they know. If someone says, like, who's the top DJ in Manchester? Your name's in the conversation, 100%. And like, especially when it comes to events as well, that's what I'm saying, is the local crowd, the local fans will come out because Compound is on. And that is essentially Compound is you.
It literally is. Like, people ask me and like the way to, I don't explain it in this way, but for the people that know me, like, Compound is what I am and what I represent. So like, it's that combination of multiple things, like forming like the brand, whether it be events, whether it be video, whether it be content, whether it be branding, whether it be looking after artists, whether it be doing podcast interviews. Like, I was like, how can I house everything that I've done in my 30 odd years of DJing, all my professional aspects and the things that I've learned, and put it in one brand that isn't me as the face of it, if you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 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 100%.
Like, I feel like that was the key, was pulling it away from me. Like, all the events that I've done solo, I've fronted as my own, whether it be like, I've done stuff in the past, like Stardust projects and random stuff, man. And in the end, the key was just like pulling it away from me and making it more a brand that can house everything that I represent, you know what I'm saying? But it's not me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like, bare people follow the page that don't even know who I am.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of behind the scenes of it like that. But I'd say it to anyone, bro, like even from DJ starting out, coming through, like work towards that, man. Like make that a key focus, being able able to host events. And
but I think they do that by don't look at all the DJs that are suddenly everywhere doing it. Because let's not get it twisted. There's some DJs that used to be like, oh yeah, I'm here and I'm there. And they'd be in 85 different cities in a week.
It's true.
But they're not making money doing it. They're barely covering their travel costs, and they're having to get hotels because they're going so far out. But these clubs are not the clubs that would pay for your hotel. So they're paying for their own hotel, their own travel, and they're really not making money like that. They're just looking super busy on social media. Like, I think that's part of the trap. And so for the younger DJs, I would definitely say don't fall into the trap of looking busy and overworking yourself.
Yeah, 100.
Unless it's really paying off and you really are securing the bag. Because ultimately as well,
it's being honest, bro, you know.
Honest. Yeah, yeah.
You got to look yourself in the mirror with these things, innit? That's what it is. Like, are you lying to yourself? That's
absolutely that. It's like, at the end of the day, you can put all this stuff up. You can put up flyers saying, showing every single day of the week booked out, and you're all in different countries and different cities and all of this stuff. By the end of the day, honestly, no one cares.
No, it's true.
No one cares. So at the end of the day, are you lying about being a superstar DJ and you're not even making any money doing it? Because that is the fastest way.
It's like buying fake social media followers. The only people you're kidding is yourself.
100%.
Which is the worst thing you can do, really. Like, you're looking yourself in the mirror every day knowing that you're kidding yourself about your own career, innit? Sometimes you just gotta be real with yourself, innit?
Absolutely.
It's the key. I hear that, to be fair. Bro, I done it, man. I done it when I was younger. We've all done it. Brother, Facebook was throwing out some gems the other week. You know when you do the statuses from 15 years ago and that?
Yeah.
My God, I was out here wiling. I was out of control.
To some extent, I actually did the same as well. You'd end up in like a pretend race with everybody because you're posting up like, oh, I've seen one DJ post up that he's here. Well, actually, you know what? I'm here, and here. So I need to tell everyone. Yep. I need to post it on but realistically, my mum and my aunties don't care.
Mm-hmm.
My mum's going to click like, bless her, because she likes it. She always likes my stuff. But she's not coming to any events. So what am I doing it for? Do you know what I mean? What are you doing it for when you're posting all of this stuff? I'm here. Because promoters don't care. They're going to book the DJs that they know. You're better off actually staying silent and then going to all of these clubs and networking with the promoters and becoming their friend. And now when they need a DJ, they're going to book you.
It's such a key thing that you just said as well, bro. Like, we get so many, since we started Compound, we get so many DJs like hitting us up for like guest sets and bits and bobs.
Yeah.
But I've never like interacted with the brand. We've never seen the face. They've never shown up. And I always say to them, like, come true. You know what I mean? Meet the team, rub shoulders with the people in it. Like, it's integral. Like, the nights and the events that you want to be part of, you got to be in and around it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Get in the mix, man. Show some initiative that you want to be part of this brand, or you want to be in and around it. All the gigs I've got over the years is from that.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like cold calling. It's like cold calling otherwise. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, actually, you know what? I want to give a shout out actually right now to someone who I see doing this very, very well. It's DJ Sentence.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my guy's a Geo.
And but honestly, if he's not playing out, he pops up everywhere.
Sick.
Absolutely every, like, he's getting about and he's doing his networking and he's meeting other DJs and he's meeting the promoters and stuff. And he's there every fucking event that's on anywhere in the country. He's there.
He's one of them party guys though, man. I can tell. I don't know him too tough like that, but I'm going to say it right now. Yeah. I think I bumped into him randomly at Ocean Beach in Ibiza one summer. But is he like the party? Is he a party guy? Is he like life of the party out here?
You know what? I think he's got a good balance, actually.
Oh, okay.
Because he's taking the DJ thing very seriously.
I love that.
And he is getting about. And he's good as well. He's actually one of the younger generation DJs that I actually rate highly and would recommend to people.
Sick.
Like, he's doing his bits.
That's dope, man.
But it's good, man. Like, just getting about, networking, getting around. But
what would I do to be young again, man?
I'm still young, bro. I'm still young.
21 young though, ultimately, bro.
Ultimately, on, what man. I would say, yeah, to up and coming and new generation DJs, the main point I would say is don't get caught in the trap of trying to get round every town and every city, everywhere in the country. Focus on your area, get it on lock, and make sure you're the guy in that town.
100%. Even if there's 4 or 5 guys in your city, like how many people is in the city? Like Manchester's got a heap of DJs that are doing their thing, bro, and there's some new kids coming through that are selling out events. But find your pocket, man. Exactly what I'm saying. That. Find your audience. There's a lot of people in the city. Like at the end of the day, if you're looking at a 300, 400 cap venue, like it's doable, bro.
Yeah,
like
you 100%.
But one thing I say to everyone that's stepping to events, you can't cheat the game. You cannot come into events and think you're not going to put the work in. Do you know how many events I've been booked for over the years and I've got there and no one's turned up? Like, it happens to all DJs. And I always sit there to myself, they thought man was just going to turn up. Man, I'm just not going to turn up to Unite if you haven't put the work in. Unless you're like a headline or you've already got that rep where you can put an event on and it's selling out. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. For most DJs that are doing events, it don't work like that. We've got to put the graft in. And I'll
if you look at certain DJs though, like even when they do their big headline shows, there's still certain areas they can't sell out.
100%.
Do you know 100%. What I mean? So it is a case of get your area on lock, like get your town locked down, get your fan base, build the fan base there because they're the people that will be loyal and they're the ones that will come out. And that's how you start an event. With a 100%. Fan base of people. And then as well, not only that, once you've got them and they're all following your social media and they're eager to hear you play, it's not even hard work to promote. You just book the venue, do the artwork and tell your people that's what the party's going to be that night.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If you've got the city unlocked, people are going to be like, oh, sick. Doubles throwing a night on this night. We're definitely going. Because at that point, I've got the city unlocked and they know Doubles, the guy to go to, and that they're going to love the music. And it's 100%. Going to be a lit night. So if Doubles playing there, I'm going there. And actually, it turns out it's Doubles night anyway. So I'm winning on two fronts. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100. But and they're the best events to play to as well. But like, it's your crowd. It's your people. You built the event. You're in charge of everything. The direction of the music. Who you want to book. Like, you can control the outcome of it. And it becomes way more enjoyable. I would rather take one gig in the week, knowing I've got compound in the weekend, where I can be in control and do our thing and put our people on, than do 7 gigs across the week, Monday to Friday, Monday to Sunday. Like, that was where I found the balance. Now I only really play out on a Friday, Saturday, and sometimes on a Sunday. I don't do the midweek stuff at all really anymore, unless it's like a corporate or private thing. But yeah, it's like you say, it's 10, 15 years of doing events and grafting to be able to do that now. But it's harder to reach people, but that's one thing I'll say. When you're doing the events on social media now, the algorithms and everything are so technical, like people don't even see your shit. So that's why I say you have to put the work in, bro. You can't just be whacking stuff on Instagram. Like, you've really got to put in the hard yards, man. Like, I've had sleepless nights, mate, trying to build compound, and there's been plenty of times where I've wanted to throw it in the bin. And the first one, I lost thousands at the start. Like, and I was sat there thinking, fuck. The game's not the same because I took a few years out from doing events.
And
in that 4 or 5 years, the game changed, bruv. Like, it nearly caught me cold-footed there.
The game did definitely change and it's always evolving. But the difference is, if you have that local fan base already, Mm-hmm. If you've got even just 200 people in the city that know your name, or in your town that know your name, and come to your residency every week, because that's how a lot of, you know, that's how really you build the fan base, is by being the resident in that town. And then that Friday night, everyone that loves your music comes to that club. Yep. That's how you build the fan base. And then as soon as you've got those people and they know who you are and you're established in that area, in that club, and you decide to start your own night, those 200 people, majority of them are going to follow you to your next event if it's in the same town.
It's converting it into the ticket sales, isn't it, man? It is the hardest, exactly. The hardest thing for any DJ or anything in the world, really, whether you're an artist or whatever, is putting paid customers on seats, bums on seats, in it. Like that, that's the hardest part of it, is the conversion from them coming to your residency to be able to say, yo, I'm going to pay 15 quid, 20 quid or whatever to go to their dance. But yeah. I feel like, especially in Manchester, bro, there's a lack of real music events, and that's where we kind of slid in. And for us, we didn't want to just blast it and paste it all over everybody. We were like, let this just grow slow and organically, and the right people will grow around it. And it's been a slow burner. I mean, we did 16 events over the last like 14 months or something like that.
That's sick, though.
Yeah, but when you think of the grand scheme of things, like over 14 months, like 16 events, it's not really as many as you think, do you know what I'm saying? But yeah, we found our pocket, man, especially at the minute. There's just a lack of it. Every club is running the same set. Every DJ is running the same set in a different order. It was like, yo, there's a giant hole here that can be filled for people that get it. Yeah. Real music.
But not only that, it's like you say, you've built a tribe of people that sell out, that buy every ticket for Compound now. It sells out every time. And not only that, they're the ones that come and they love the music that you love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. But you can't beat it, man. You know, you can stand up there, you don't have to scratch your head when you're flicking through your crate.
You just do your thing and everyone's vibing. Your thing. Amazing.
Oh man.
That's the DJ's dream.
It is the dream, bro. I can't lie. Literally. Like, this is the dream. And I've only just really found that now, man. Because I feel like when I play in all my other club sets compared to when I play at our ting.
Yeah.
Obviously it's our ting, man. So but there's just that freedom there, innit? You know, you wake up that day just feeling light. You know, you can just go in there and just run it up.
Right.
Like, yeah, man. And the next one as well is the best one. Valentino. Sexy time stylist in this month. Oh, I won't swear today. I had to rip out bare curse words last week. I don't even realize I'm doing it, man. My language is awful, yo. Anyway, Compound to the World, baby. Follow us in it. I feel like I've not really plugged us on the podcast. Can I plug us? Follow me at Compound. Thanks.
# sponsored ad.
KOMPND. You know what to do if you're in Manny. If you're local, come through. Say hello. Yeah,
gets the cosign. And I'm also
Double was meant to be here on New Year's Day.
Bro, I was so ill. I spoke about this last week. I was so disgustingly ill. And I don't get ill. I've got the best immune system on the planet.
He was going to come, guys. Yeah, I had to lock him off.
Yeah, actually, you told me not to come.
I had to lock him off because I was thinking, this guy's not coming on him, giving our whole Compound gang a sickness, bro.
I was on the phone to you like the day before, like, I think I'm going to be fine.
I won't know till the morning. I was thinking, this guy, don't phone me in the morning, bro. Go to bed.
And then you're like, nah, I'm booking someone else. You're not allowed to come to Compound because you'll make everybody else ill. Nah, it's fine. You made the right decision. Because I would have just...
You
might
have enjoyed it, bro. You can't... And then, go on.
Because it was New Year's Day, the trains weren't running up there either. So I would have had to drive. I was coming from Brighton. That's a 5-hour drive to Manchester.
Yeah, that's technical, bro. Can we talk about this for a second, actually, bro? Let's talk about this for 1 second, yeah.
Go on.
DJing when you're not feeling well. Yeah, we've all done it. Because you know what, DJ, we don't get sick pay. Unless you work for a sick company that are going to nice you up, which is very rare.
Name one company that's giving you sick pay, bro. Name
I got
one.
Sent home after half an hour on Sunday and got a full wage. I thought that was amazing.
Wow.
They'll be like, oh, you only paid for an hour. We'll give you X amount. Yeah. You know them
ones. That's actually sick. Shouts to them people. I only once in my whole entire career, as far as I can remember, got paid for not turning up. And that was my good friends at Rocks Promotions in Brighton. I had a family grievance that day.
Right, okay.
And literally called them last minute. As a promoter, this is the worst thing. I'm calling you an hour before the club opens.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I'm really sorry. There's been a bereavement. I'm not coming to the club. And they were like, okay, like do your thing. They sorted someone else to do it and still paid me for the night.
Why do I still feel bad even when it's something peak and it's family or like something really important? I still feel bad when I par a gig off.
Yeah, 100%.
Like even if it's like something really personal and deep. But yeah, for whatever reason it is.
Bro, even like, you're my friend. And I knew it wasn't like that deep for you. But even New Year's Day, I felt bad for saying to you the day before. Like,
I felt bad for you, bro. Like, we had it under control, yo. But I felt bad for you, bro. I know you wanted to come up in it. So I was just like, yeah. But the way you sounded...
I'll be fine in the morning.
That sounded like Stephen Hawkins, bro.
Yeah, it was not.
Oh, yeah,
one.
The DJing when sick, bro. Listen, I can't function if I don't in a DJ booth if I don't feel good. Everything goes out the window. My train of thought, like trying to find the right songs, I'll be sweating. I just can't do it. If I feel any remotely like any type of sickness or illness, I can't DJ, man. I can't do it anymore at all.
I mean, I'm just stubborn. I still will. Unless I was like I was on New Year.
Probably be there with one leg and one arm. I'm like, yeah, still going.
Bleeding out. I'd be like, oh, I'll make it through.
Limbs on but the CDJ.
I'm bad. I don't know when to take a sick day, really. Unless the sickness actually puts me to bed like it did on New Year. But I'll turn up still ill and I'll still play. And it'll probably be a terrible set. I won't use the mic at all. I'll be there just wishing.
Oh, bro, yeah, using the mic. You're heavy on the mic as well, innit? So, like, a lot of my venues up here, they don't really take it like that. So,
if I'm ill, it's not happening.
Okay, yeah. No microphone work is going down, but if man is sick.
No, to be honest, no skills. I'm not even doing tricks. I'm going autopilot. I'm playing.
This guy letting the song run right to the end.
Yeah, pretty much.
Beat intro, beat outro, and just mixing that intro.
That's
the cleanest of mixes.
When I'm ill, yeah, you're getting the whole entire song.
Love that.
It is not good times. I don't know when to take. I should take a sick day. That's what I'm going to do. That's my New Year's resolution. If I'm sick, have a sick day. Actually, take time off.
Bro, this is it, man. It goes.
I'm saying
it
out loud. It's not going to happen. Really.
No, it's not going to happen. But it goes back to that point talking about the kids coming through, going gung-ho, like 700 gigs a week and all. Like, don't burn yourself out, yo. Like,
yeah, that is the burnout.
You're like finding the balance is key. Like, you can still do all your gigs and be out here, but like, you'll feel much better and you'll perform a lot better if you feel alive, you know what I'm saying?
Like, 100%.
I see DJs out here like putting themselves in hospital and that because they've been running themselves through the floor and it's like...
It's not healthy, man.
It's not
but
it, man.
It goes back to what we were saying last week. Like, we have a shorter career span there. We have a lot shorter time. The DJ retirement age is younger than the normal corporate job retirement age. Mm-hmm. And so if we reach retirement age and you have no other skills or no other businesses and DJing is your only income, the hell are you going to do at 50 or 55 years old when you stop clubs?
A few people hit us back, you know. We had a few DJs hit us back on that, like that were like elders, like putting it on us, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I'm 56 and I'm still out here.
Yeah, cool. And a lot of them guys, all the ones that I saw in the comments, are established guys. Like, they managed to get themselves into good, solid positions.
Mm-hmm.
But still they're a minority. And I think, as a DJ, like, it goes back to what we were saying. We have a much shorter career span than other bigger jobs, more established jobs, conventional jobs. That's the word I'm looking for. And we don't get a pension. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, you've got to make all of that money in a shorter amount of time.
No, it's true, man.
But
it's true.
Don't burn yourself out doing it. Talking
where are we going next, Dubs? We got a few things to cover today.
Talking of, but we weren't even talking of, but you know what? One of the most monotonous, horrible jobs as a DJ is freshening up Serato crates.
Oh, okay. Right. Here we go.
And your playlist folders.
Yeah.
It is the absolute ghetto. I hate it.
It's
I'm
the
in the
ghetto.
Middle at the moment. Yeah, it is the ghetto, bro.
Man said it's the ghetto, bro. Man's in the shubs.
I'm in the process of doing it at the moment. Yeah. And you know what? I've managed to get all the genres that I'm not super deep into. So like your house, drum and bass, garage, where are my folders for the clubs for those are just the bangers. I don't need to do 4 hour nights of house music. I've got enough for a solid house set and that's it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty easy. I just tidy it up, move it up. Oh, and the way I do it as well, by the way, is the main folder is the year. So at the moment I'm working into 2023 club crates.
I don't get this year crate stuff.
No, but the reason I'm doing that is
because I remember songs come out, bro. My brain's like a sieve, yo.
No, what I mean by that is this is the club crates that I am using in 2023. So it still has all my old school hip hop, all the old school R&B, old school dance, all of that stuff. But this is my newest one. And I only do that because it separates it from the last one, the 2021 club crates. See what I mean? But what I'm doing is I'm going through the 2021 club crates and then tidying them up and then moving them into 2023.
So they're new, fresh club crates.
So the club set is fresh. But at the moment, I'm working through my hip hop and R&B folder with all the crates. And I do it
the biggest one.
It is the biggest one. And it is horrible. So the way I have it structured is I have hip hop R&B as the main crate name. And then I've got like warm up. So all the sub crates, warm up, commercial, main set, new shit, old school hip hop, old school R&B, slow jams. I've got a Drake folder in there. It's just Drake is a genre now. I've got Drake, and then that has sub crates.
That is like crazy. Yo.
Drake girl tunes, Drake Mandem tunes, Drake main set hip hop tunes, Drake warm up tunes.
Because I find it's a bit overwhelming. Do I find it gets a bit overwhelming when there's so many crates, bro? I just used to try and do genre alone, and that was it. That's near impossible just doing that now.
It is really difficult. I find the sub crates help because depending on what part of the night depends on what crate I'm in. I only really play slow jams towards the end of the night. Although actually even this year I've switched it up a bit and sometimes I'll draw for slow jams in the middle of the night.
Just
to change up the vibe.
It's to be different.
Bang, slow jams. But I have the slow jams there. So if I'm ever doing a slow jam set, bang, I've got 2 hours there in front of me and I know every single one is working in the club.
Yeah, Double's trying to get on Compound Valentine's, isn't he? Look at him.
But you got to say, bro, remember the last time I played at Compound?
I can't lie. I remember you playing. What joint is it now? Was it the Che Songz joint? Neighbours Know My Name.
I
remember being drunk, mate, banging on the
wall.
Man was banging on the wall like a little sweet boy. Oh my God. Bro, the crate thing, I've been putting it off for about 6 years.
I've been doing it for about 6 years. My 2021 crates, I just renamed them from 2018 crates.
Fixing your Serato crates is like making a movie. It's been in production for 9 years.
literally, it's like making Avatar 5, but with Serato club crates. Because, it's just a monotonous task. And the problem is, it's so extensive. It's not even a job you can do in one day.
No.
Here's the other thing. Do you find this? I have songs in there in my club crates that I'm like, they're not necessarily big club bangers, but I love them. And they're like the seasoning for my set. Not all DJs are playing these particular, like these little sprinkling songs that I'm putting in. Do you know what I mean? So like not all DJs play them in their main set or whatever, but I chuck them in because I want them in there.
Yeah, 100%. You got to have a little bit of your own flavor in there, innit?
Yeah, 100%. But then when it comes to rearranging and taking songs out, like retiring certain songs from the club set, you've got to be in the right mood.
Yeah, you do have to be in the right mood.
If I go through my crates and I'm in a bad mood,
Everything's just gone.
All gone. Oh, that's a shit song. That one didn't work last time I tried it.
I've definitely done that, yo. And then I've gone to find them again. I've gone to find them again and be like, yo, when I was angry the other week, man deleted Bare Rhythms.
Yeah. And then you just
find them again.
Apologizing to the MP3. Like, I'm really sorry I did that. Come back in.
I only started using crates, bro, like 6 months ago. Like, I was loading up iTunes through Serato, man.
I don't know how people can do that. How can you try? Look at how
I was just running it because I was just doing genres. I wasn't deep and extensive with the crates. I was doing R&B, hip hop, house, electro, slow jams, UK rap, grime. Like that was how it was. I didn't split it into years. I didn't split it into BPMs. Nothing like that at all. Now I've started building crates within Serato, and it's more of the genre. Yeah. You click it
and
open.
And then you have the you've got the sub crates.
Yeah. Then it, and then it's more like I'll have like under like R&B, I'll have like warm up, ladies anthems, and then like a BPM range. And I'll do the same when it hip hop. It'll be like a BPM range, and then maybe like trap anthems, whatever kind of thing. Yeah. But it's like you've still got to be keeping on them like weekly, taking stuff out, popping stuff in, updating it, or you just end up in that flipping. That doom scroll, man. You just end up running the same fucking shit.
I love that you just called it the doom scroll.
It's true, bro. You'll just be there like that, just scrolling through the same stuff all the time. Like, and it's like when you just end up picking out the same shit, man. Like, I feel like if you look at your crates different, you keep freshening them up and moving stuff around, it just helps like keep your sets in a fresher state.
I have my new shit folder. I actually call it new-ish. I don't know why they just call it new. Why don't I call it new?
But anyway,
my new folder. So I have, like I said, I've got the hip hop. I put hip hop R&B together because there's certain annoying ones that I'm coming back. Don't worry, my battery.
Double died, but it's all right.
The battery. One second.
Yeah, I was worried mine was gonna do this because my battery was pretty short today. Still, I didn't have time to charge it. It's all good.
I think I'm coming.
For anyone that's listening on Spotify, Double's disappeared.
Yeah, my camera died. I'm back. What was I saying? Yeah, my OCD won't let me do hip hop and R&B as separate ones because there's certain songs that cross over.
Oh yeah, I throw them into both because I have the same issue as you. Some hip hop falls in rhythm and blues and vice versa. Yeah. So like, yeah, they get dashed into both crates for me.
It's Drake. Drake did that. Certain Drake songs are hip hop and
nah,
R&B.
Nah, Ja Rule done that first.
Oh yeah, that's a really good shout actually. Ja Rule.
Ja Rule was the original singing rapper.
Ja Rule, was
he?
Hold on. You need to really rack your brain before you make a statement like that. They're gonna get onto us. But yeah,
Ja Rule really made it like popular, innit? The singing
even,
rapping.
But,
thing.
I mean, even yeah, 50.
I know you had like Nate Dogg in that, but I won't really cast. Was Nate Dogg really like rapping?
No, Nate Dogg never rapped.
Nate Dogg was just a smooth.
But he had his
G-funk
own
G-funk solely.
Yeah, G-funk. That's what he called it. Nate Dogg was G-funk.
On a whole new level. Yeah, I'm going to say Ja Rule, but yeah, I hear you though. Drake in the new school. I remember G2, we did a video back in the day for Jam and it was G2 and he was like, yeah, before Drake, we had this motherfucker Ja Rule. And I was thinking, yo, he's actually right.
Drew
was singing on
shout.
Cuts long time before Drake was about.
Yeah, man. that is a very good shout. But I reckon there was definitely rappers in the 90s. Dude. I mean, actually, if you look at Biggie made R&B songs as well as rap.
Yeah, but I mean like that crossover singing rap on the same record. You know what I'm saying? Like Ja Rule was out here. I'll be without my baby. And then we start
rapping.
Who would
I be without you?
That's what I'm saying, bro. My man's an original Don, you know?
Yeah.
Boy.
But yeah, okay. So anyway, there are various hip-hop songs that also would cross over into R&B. And my OCD can't cope with that, so it has to all just be in the same folder.
Do you use smart crates?
No. I
feel like that's getting a bit like...
I'll be honest.
Some DJs geek out massively with this stuff. Yeah, you see these debates on Twitter from time to time, don't you? Crate arrangement. I know CB spoke about it on his stuff before. And some people are really intense, like everything's color coded. You know what I mean? Everything's smart crated.
I use the colors. I have blue. So I do the blue tab.
I do use the colors.
I have the blue tab for clean. If it's clean.
Right,
and I know it's 100% clean. It has a blue tab as well as being labeled clean. But the blue tab basically just confirms I've checked it and it is clean.
Okay.
But that's more for like when I was doing radio stuff and also obviously doing Nighttown, you have to play clean music. So that's for that. I use yellow tabs for instrumentals. I don't really know why because it says instrumental and it is an instrumental. But I just have yellow. But I use the red tab.
That's a hell of organization, that, isn't it? You have to go through doing that. Man.
No, I just when it comes in, I don't go through everything. Like, it's just when it comes in. But the most useful one, the blue is probably the most useful to show me that it's definitely clean and I've checked it. But the other useful one is I use a red tab for all my new stuff because the way I do it is I'll put anything new that I'm going to put into my club sets, I'll put into my new folder.
Right.
And when I've started playing it enough that I automatically play it in the main set without having to look for it. Without, I don't need to go and find it in the new folder to remind myself to play it. When I get to that stage, it gets upgraded. It goes from the new folder into the main set folder, but it keeps the red tab on there.
This guy giving the record. This guy giving his records promotions within Serato.
Oh yeah, yeah, they get definitely. They
well
get
done, guys. You're going up to the bangers crate.
Well, congratulations, guys. But yeah, they also get demoted as well if they don't work well enough, and if they flop, if they do the lead balloon thing in the club, they get demoted. They're going back into the warm up folder now. You're not big enough anymore. You didn't work hard enough. You're going into the warm up. And furthermore, I'm taking away your red tab.
Oh my God.
You're getting normal colours.
We give you a red band to get in VIP, mate. You're not keeping it, bro.
The red band off. But no, I keep the red band on when it goes into main set because it shows me that's a new one in main set.
Okay.
And reminds me then to play it in there. And then once it's autopilot to get played, and I know it's definitely getting played, I take the red thing off and I don't need to search for it like that anymore. But it also gives me, like, if I'm just scrolling through the crate quickly, I can look on the left-hand side where I keep the colors. And if I see, like, because if I'm looking for something new that I want to play and I know it's a banger, I'll see the red there and I can just stop there and bang, just chuck that on and we're good to go.
Okay. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I feel like I'm just, bro, some of these new school DJs, yeah, that I've just only ever known Serato. I don't know if it's because we're from an older gen and we've come from vinyl and whatever else, and we don't want to get too deep and intricate with this crate system, but I feel like the newer school DJs, they're embracing every angle of, like, library organization, like the smart crate stuff, where it's all genre tagged and certain BPM tagged, and you can type one little ting in and all this next shit starts, like, all this stuff pops up. Like, it's different.
The smart crates are a great idea.
Great idea.
If you're OCD enough to get all your ID3 tags.
I think it depends how your brain functions as well in the club when you're looking through your crates and stuff. Like, everybody looks at stuff different. Like, I was bouncing around flipping bareback, mate, in just normal genre crates. with no tempos, no BPMs, no nothing. I was just out here wild, bruv. And like, that worked for me forever. And only since probably after lockdown did I start building, like, more intricate crates. Like, and I think that's because we come from an era where, bro, man, we're picking out vinyl, you know? You never got told no BPM. You never had no screen to look at.
No, like, you had to remember if it works with the tune that you're playing.
And never mind that. Now you've got tempo stretch. Now you can have a plus 16 or plus 50 or whatever. And if it needs speeding up by X amount, cool. On a turntable, you add plus 8 and that's it. If it didn't fit in that tempo range.
And even then, if you push it up to plus 8, if you're going 8% faster, we didn't have pitch control.
Exactly.
I mean, we didn't have key lock.
You're running real life chipmunk in the dance, mate.
Not only, like, imagine Ja Rule's voice, how deep it is. Now suddenly he's sounding super high pitch.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like that settles up, like, in a good way, though, for, like, with the way technology is now, because, like, bro, it's easier now, man. I'm going to keep it 100% real. Yeah, like, 100%. It's easy to DJ now.
100%.
Like, and back then, there was a different kind of skill and mastery to it.
I've had a revelation, right? You know, I have a big problem with running songs more than about 5% faster than they should be running. It might go back to my turntable days. Do you remember ages ago I said to you about someone running Beanie Man, Who Am I, at like 114 BPM?
Yeah.
Without the key lock on as well. I mentioned it on one of the past episodes. I even said to the DJ at the time, I was like, bruv, you have to slow this shit down. People aren't even dancing anymore. They're standing looking at you because this is wild. Slow it down.
It's like last week, isn't it? With Burner Boy.
Controller. Yeah, that Pop Smoke one.
The Pop Smoke one.
Baby, welcome to party.
That was astronomical levels of speed, bruv. Like,
and you know, it's like we said then as well. When the normal customers in the club pick it up and put it on their social media, when you know you fucked up.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Normal people that don't understand about changing tempos are actually pulling you up on it. But
we still not found him, by the way. We still don't know who the guy is.
He's gone underground. He's done that home, you know, the Homer Simpson meme.
He might have packed it in, bro. He might have hung his headphones up.
Yeah, maybe Serato sacked him.
Because he was definitely a new, and he had to be a newbie.
A Absolutely.
That'd be a newbie.
No way anyone over 24 is doing that.
Someone, and I wonder if someone told him. I wonder if someone tapped him on the shoulder or another DJ who was there just be like, bruv, like, yo.
Doubtful. Not a lot of DJs do that, really.
Nah, because when they do,
it comes across like you're hating.
Yeah.
When I said it to the DJ that had the Beanie Man tune running at 5,000 BPM. And when I said it to him, it wasn't like an aggressive thing. It was more like a relax, like, just slow it down a bit. Look, everyone's not dancing. They're all looking because this sounds wild.
It might feel a bit embarrassing for the DJ as well that's doing it if they don't really know and then they're being called out for it. Like,
yeah,
not everybody takes criticism great, innit? Like, they could feel a little bit embarrassed.
It wasn't done in a bait way either. There was a bunch of people around and I don't think anyone else clocked what I said. I didn't do it to embarrass him. I did it to almost tell him, like, cool, it's amazing that your controller and your tools can do this, but it doesn't sound good. Ultimately, that's the point. We need music to still sound good. We need people to still be entertained. So that's amazing that you can run Beanie Man at 114 BPM. Good for you, but it sounds shit. So turn it off, slow it down. But I didn't speak to him like that. That would be rude. But I advised him that it might be best to slow it down because no one's dancing anymore.
I've seen a situation on Twitter this week, actually, and one or two people actually tagged Talk Over in it saying we should talk about it. Yeah. And it was do you know what? Let me load it up, actually. Because did you see it about the girl that spat in the DJ's face?
No.
Because he wouldn't play a song?
No, I'm glad you're giving me a moment to collect my thoughts about how to respond to this one, because my initial outburst.
His initial thought was headbutts.
The thing that I very nearly just automatically said is definitely getting me cancelled, and I'm probably not going
We won't cover it today. The DJ came online anyway and was like, yes, I was the DJ. And like, brother, it just makes me think, like, some of the behaviour in these clubs now is out of control. How a gal grogging in man's face for not playing a record, yeah? And then this girl actually tweeted about it. She deleted the tweets the next morning. She actually went online and, like, tried to justify her actions.
Wow.
And then the tweet got removed. So I think she deleted it when she realized, but the DJ found it anyway and was like, yeah, it was me, and this is exactly what happened. He packed up and got off. The DJ. And was like, have that then. I'm not standing up here taking this. Bro, if a gal spat in my face in the shubs, I don't know what would go down.
If a man...
I'm not going to implicate myself on a podcast.
I'm just going to say, if a man ever spat at me, his head's coming off. I would rather, in all honesty, I would rather get punched in the face than spat in the face.
Especially post-COVID as well. Like, spitting on someone is like 50 times worse than what it was before now.
It's probably even more against the law than it was before.
Yeah, you should be arrested for that, you know.
It is.
I feel like that should be an arrestable offence.
I think it is. I'm pretty sure it's like a form of assault.
I've definitely seen it on like Night Cops or something where like someone spat on a copper and just instantly twisted them up.
Oh, mate, but you know what? You know what the police have, yeah? They have bags that they put over people. If they have people that are handcuffed and spitting at them,
you know what? It's suffocating.
They have like mesh bags, like Ziploc, but they're mesh, so you can still breathe. But if you spit, it doesn't come out the bag. And they just bang over your... Zhup,
wow.
Tie it around your neck, and now you've got a bag on your head, and you can't spit. Like, that's a real thing. The British police have that.
I wonder if we were going to cover this, but we're going to talk about like raver entitlement post COVID, innit? And I feel like that's like a case at the more extreme end where, play my song. No. All right.
Oh, my.
Mad ting, bro.
My blood's boiling, bro.
Mad ting. We're not going to cover it properly, but I feel like that's something I've seen, and we got tagged in once or twice. And obviously, from our opinion,
you've triggered me. I feel emotional for that guy, because the thing is as well,
imagine how you would feel, yo.
Bruv, because it's a woman, you can't even react the appropriate way. No. I feel like any club manager, like as a DJ, if you bang a customer's head off, you break a customer's jaw, bust his nose open, you're getting fired.
Yeah, we're losing our job. Right. And then the punter probably gets banned before he gets on with his day.
However, If it's on camera and the manager sees that he's just spat in your face and then you've taken his head off,
mm-hmm.
I think you're going to be fine. I'm pretty sure you're keeping your job. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I definitely slapped someone in the DJ booth about 10 years ago.
Tell that story. It was new.
And this same thing happened. They talked about firing me and they didn't because of the situation. And someone come up to me. It was on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
G2 was actually there this night. Handful of flour. Happy slapped me right across the face in the booth. Swear down, bro. Like something out of a movie, like I was being trolled. You know, like them YouTube videos. Bro, yeah. Poof. Everywhere.
Like flat, outfit like, ruined. Like cooking, all, cooking flour.
Bro, it was like flour.
What? Are you sure it wasn't cocaine?
Bro, imagine.
Sure he wasn't just... He's got a handful
I wonder why I felt a bit weird afterwards.
He's got a handful of MDMA.
Bro, out of nowhere, no joke, I got a tap. This was in Coliseum back in the day, one of Manchester's old super clubs, 2,000 capacity, massive gaff, yeah. I don't know whether this dude had it in for me or didn't play his song or whatever. Maybe it could have been anything. Tap on the shoulder, turn around, happy slapped me, bro. Out of nowhere. Bro, I'm stood there, yeah. Like, you know, when it's all in your eyes now, and it's like, like sorting out a Home Alone. What happens to that motherfucker in Home Alone, bro, where he's got all the soot all over him? He's like, you know what I'm saying? Bro, without even thinking, boxed him clean in the mouth, bro.
Instant reaction.
Without even thinking, I couldn't believe what had happened. And like, I was a bit, like, this was before I'd even dealt with like my own issues, and I was a little bit out of control back then. So yeah, boxed him clean in the mouth. Anyway, Dorman's come over. I'm stood there covered in fucking flour. This dude stood there holding his nose.
Covered in blood.
This dude stood there holding his nose, yeah. I'd have said to the doorman, my man's just happy slapped me with a stick. Anyway, he got dragged out. But then afterwards, the manager was like, Stylish, you can't be doing that, blah, blah. Anyway, they got the security video up to watch it back in the office to see if I'd like stepped out of line or whatever. When they seen what happened, they let me off of it. And when they realized that I didn't proper like take his head off, it was just a quick, you know, one of them ones, just like a jab over the booth, but because it clocked him. Like he's like a bit of blood coming out of his nose and that. Like if that was outside, it could have been a different story. But bro, well, I just had so a complete flashback then.
How did he get, first of all?
Because the booth was in what? Like,
No. Even before he gets to the booth, first of all, imagine
it was a fancy dress thing.
You're pre-drinking at home and you're leaving for the club and you're like, right, remember, I need my ID.
I need my flower.
I need my ID. I need my wallet. I need my phone. Oh shit, has anyone seen the plain flower?
Bro, I swear, it's like he planned it. It's like he had it in for me, yo.
Someone probably was filming, you know. There's no way, like, what? And when he gets to the club, do they not search people in Manchester?
They do, bro, but this is like...
Or is allowed? Maybe you're allowed in with a bag of plain flour.
Well, exactly. Sorry, you're not coming in with that tonight, mate.
Oh, so, please.
I feel this might have been over 10 years ago, man. It could have been 12, 13 years ago, maybe. Like, it was a different era then. Like, Facebook was like not really, like social media wasn't even fully active like that. Like Instagram, I don't even know if Insta was even around 13, 14 years ago, was it? Might have been before Instagram.
I only got onto Instagram. You remember we did that trip to New York to do the documentary? That was when I got onto Instagram.
Oh, if we were on socials now.
You made me get onto Instagram. That was it. And I was like 5 years late to the Instagram party anyway.
If we did that trip now, but for all the content, would have been crazy, yo.
Crazy.
Oh my god! But yeah, anyway, cut a long story short. Yeah, I got happy slapped with flour. Lovely. I know. On Friday, my laptop nearly got sent flying because some dude fucking waving his arm around the booth and that. And this booth is like openly exposed. It's like you're like on a high table. It's not even a booth. It's like a high table.
Those kind of clubs.
My laptop. I caught it with one hand. Otherwise, it's game over. And one of my other DJ friends seeing it, he messaged the next day, he went, I seen what happened last night. I said, bro, at that moment, he knew he'd fucked up. No joke. Like, then he tried to shake my hand. I was like, I don't want to shake your hand, bro.
Yeah, salty. Touch the laptop and that's it.
You just nearly ended my life tonight, bro.
If you miss about the laptop, you're missing about with my emotions. Yeah, not the good ones.
Real talk. It's making me think in certain places, I need USBs because like, there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to worry about with Usba in the dance, innit?
I can't use Usbs.
I can't use them either, man. But
not
I'm just
for,
thinking
not
like,
for a full DJ set. I'll use it for like a club party with one of the artists. Like with, if I'm doing the thing with RD, I'll use the Usb.
An interesting one. Can I ask you this now, actually?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you not use laptop when you're doing the sets with RD?
Oh no, I do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
So with
are you concerned?
I always have two backups ready. In fact, I have three backups ready.
I'll be worried about a glitch, man. I'm just thinking about it now, man.
I have the laptop there, and on my technical rider, luckily, when you roll about with one of the biggest rappers in the scene, you are allowed a technical rider.
Allow it.
And so basically, So check this out. As me, as a DJ, like if I'm just rolling up to clubs and stuff to do a DJ set, I do send a technical rider, but 9 times out of 10, the club are just like, oh, we didn't get your technical rider. Here's the equipment we do have. Deal with that.
They don't even read the tech riders out. We couldn't get out, mate. We didn't even try, though.
However, when you're doing stuff on this caliber with RD, they have to take care. They have to take note of the technical rider.
Yeah.
So luckily, I've got my tech rider, and it's always there. 9 times out of 10, it's always there. So what's on the tech rider is, I even tell them how to set it up, and it's a left CDJ, a mixer, which got to be the 900 Nexus 2, a right CDJ, and then another CDJ on the right-hand side of that.
Oh, now, so you get the backup one.
That third CDJ has a USB in it with the entire set for RD.
Right.
Every single song, the PA version, which is the same from the laptop. So I'm DJing from the laptop. If anything's to go wrong with the laptop,
that's ready.
I can hit play and
do you
along
flick the
set,
songs over. Yeah. So like, as you're running through the tracks on the laptop adjacent on the CDJ, right?
Exactly
okay.
that. So throughout the set, I'm clicking the backup CDJ down the right list. So if during our 10th song, for example,
definitely
if everything
this.
Goes wrong. No, brother, it's essential. I'll tell you why it's essential in a minute. If it gets down the list and suddenly the computer packs up and I'm on song 10, I don't have to scroll through the USB to find song 10.
Yeah.
I can just hit play. The only problem is it will mean the song starts again from the beginning.
Right. Unless you hit play at the same time.
Then it's techie. It's too much going on.
Yeah, it is.
Because don't forget, I catch RD's verses as well. So when he takes a breath, I'm doing his lyrics. I'm also interacting with the crowd. I'm also making sure the next song is ready on time. And some of our stuff I have to mix so it comes in on time to then make sure that the backup is running silently in the background in time with everything.
It's
too much. So I have that, and it's a last resort. If the laptop goes silent halfway through a song, RD will know there's a problem anyway, because that never happens. Touch wood.
Yeah, got you.
Worst case scenario, I'll make a bit of, I'll fill it in on the mic or something and gas them up and make it look like it's a reload. Do you know what I mean? Or something like that. And then afterwards, RD will say to me, what happened there? Why did that happen? Do you know what I mean? And then it's like, laptop crash. But luckily, again, touch wood, it's never happened. So that's the first backup. I also have the second backup, which is exactly the same, but it's a USB on the main CDJs that I'm using. So it's an exact copy of the backup USB. So if while we're using, so the laptop, imagine this, the laptop's crashed and now I'm using the backup USB. And for any reason, that CDJ's stopped working. I'm now back to the normal CDJs with the exact same copy of the USB. So that's my second backup. The third backup, and this has actually been necessary, is if the mixer dies, I have no control over the output. So it doesn't matter how many backups I have in front of me.
Oh yeah, if the mixer dies,
the mixer's dead. So
it wipes everything out.
So I make sure that the sound engineer, because for festivals and for the headline shows, we have a sound engineer with us, and he has the input from the mixer, and he then controls the output.
Right, got you.
So I have the sound engineer has a backup of all the songs, and he will know exactly where in the set we are.
Right.
So if the mixer dies, he can trigger the next song, and he can play the next song from his system.
Okay, sick.
So
if
the DJ equipment dies, it's not game over. Because imagine, I think I've told the story, this happened both with Pot of Paper and with RD, weirdly, in exactly the same venue.
Wow.
The mixer died. One was the mixer just died. One was a drink got thrown over it.
I've never had a mixer die before. Like, yeah, not a mixer.
The mixer just died, brother. Just died.
That's a madness. Like, these things are robust, yo. So that thing must have been infected.
It was. It had the virus. So the mixer just died. And with the RD show, someone actually threw a drink. But I told that story in a previous pod.
In
both scenarios, I have no control now over the output of the music until the mixer's swapped.
Got you.
Luckily with the RD one, I ended up drying it off, restarting the mixer, and then we were good to go. But
what happens in that moment where the mixer's being cleaned? Because like we all know, like when there's an issue in the club with a laptop and that, like them 10 seconds feels forever.
That is where, like, as the DJ on these shows, you've got to be able to fill the gap, innit?
You've got to be able to...
No, you haven't. This is the thing. But this is where it actually depends on how good the artist is as a performer.
Right, got you.
With Potter, it stopped. It just died halfway through a song. He carried on doing the song a cappella.
Sick.
And Potter has very long songs as well. Some of his songs are like 4 or 5 minutes long where he just bars.
He created a moment out of a fuck up.
Bro, and the way he did it, nobody in the crowd would realize something went wrong.
Yeah.
But he obviously noticed something went wrong because it wasn't part of the show that the song just stops. This is why at the time I was so gassed, because I'm just like, this guy is incredible. He's managed to just carry on seamlessly and the crowd are going mental and he's just doing the song a cappella while I'm panicking. Absolutely shit. I couldn't even really take in the moment properly because I'm shitting my pants there. Like, I'm in charge of the music.
All left to log on stage.
But I had to, the in-house sound engineer had to come and change the mixer and then I had to get everything re-plugged in and da 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 da. In the time that it took Potter, but all the while I'm doing all this, he's just barring and entertaining the crowd with the rest of the song. He's going a cappella and he did it and absolutely smashed it. By the time he finished the song, obviously everyone's going mad because it's a cappella. And then I'm now ready and I can trigger the next song. And then the show continues. See, only people on the team.
Hire the right man for the job, bro.
Only people on the team knew that anything went wrong.
Okay.
With RD, someone threw a drink, went all over me and all over the mixer. Mixer's dead. Music stops. RD stopped rapping because suddenly, like, it caught him off guard. But then he realized straight away, because he must have turned around and seen me covered in beer. He's clocked something was wrong, but he took a different approach. He didn't carry on doing the song. He actually started to entertain the crowd. And for example, he was like, we were doing a song that is Wasted with Digga D. So it's about drinking and being white boy wasted, basically. And he kind of used that as a segue to be like, right, we're here. It's the RD tour. Let's get white boy wasted. Someone give me a drink.
Sick.
And so someone's giving him a drink, but this venue sold like 2 pint glasses instead of
pints. Up there with like a jug of beer.
he's on stage with like a liter of beer. And then he's like, hyping them up. He's hyping the crowd up about should he down it, and they're all like, yeah. And he's like, no, it'll be louder. Should I down it? And he's making an actual performance out of the drink. Do you know what I mean? And all the while, that's when I'm trying to repair the mixer. I'm drying it off, restarting it, getting everything sorted. And he did it. But he held the stage. And bear in mind as well, I was more impressed with this because this was his first headline tour. He wasn't very, very seasoned as a performer. But he just mastered the stage and just captivated the audience. He just had them. Do you know what I mean? And like, it's those two moments, both with Potter and RD, that sets artists like that way above the rest. I know artists that have been doing this 10 years, that if the music stops and it's not rehearsed,
crumbling.
Bro, they are crumbled on stage. Pile of rocks.
It does separate the real performers 100%. 100%. It's like you just said then, bro, like the crowd don't clock these things. So it's an art of just being able to like skim over them and make it blend even when there's a big fuck up. Like you just said, you're at the back fixing up, but that they know it's not part of the show. So they'll just go into autopilot and like make it connect regardless.
Yeah.
And like you say, a cappella moments bang 9 times out of 10 anyway. So the crowd are probably thinking, yo, this is actually lit. In reality, there's an absolute massive fumble going on behind the scenes.
But yeah, it's one of the worst positions as a DJ to be in. And the main reason is because ultimately, a drink hitting me and messing up the mixer or the mixer blowing up is not my fault, but it's my responsibility. My responsibility on that stage, or our responsibility as tour DJs on the stage, is to keep the music going. And if we're not doing that, it's not necessarily us that looks bad. It's the artist. Majority of fans don't really pay too much attention to the DJs. Do you know what I mean? RD has a million followers on Instagram.
Mad.
I would say a majority of them don't know who I am, even though every live show he's done is with me. Do you know what I mean? So like, they don't really pay attention to the DJ. So now what you've got is you have an artist out on stage, exposed by themselves with no music. And I can't interact properly with them because I am now repairing the problem.
Yeah.
So that for me is one of the worst situations to be in as a DJ, because you've put your guy out there and now they're really under pressure. Like, they have to perform. They've got to keep the show going.
Yeah.
The other alternative is they just turn around and they're just like, on the mic, they're like, well, there's a technical. Everyone look how shit my DJ is. Now we've got to wait tonight and just really stick it on me. But
yeah, I had a dream. I had a nightmare that I like about it. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, it's
I'm like, yo, man's about to go on tour, you know.
Oh mate, it's a horrible
Let
scenario.
Me prep this thing correctly.
Definitely, like, think of every single backup plan you can possibly think of. Even down to, like, I have a Dropbox folder with all of the PA edits and all of the edits that I have, all the live performance
everything
edits.
Corrupts. Yeah,
in case everything dies. Or worst case scenario, if I'm on the way to a festival and God forbid I have an accident or I'm unable to get there for any reason.
Yeah. Real talk.
The whole team has access to this Dropbox folder. So worst case scenario, they can pull up at the festival and they can just grab any DJ and say, right, you need to download this music, get on the stage and do the performance, because our DJ can't make it. Do you know what I mean? So even down to that, I've got an online private version of all of the folders, of all of the songs, so that anyone I send it to has access.
Sick.
So there's like, so there you go. I've got like five backups for a live show.
It's all good being in the booth doing your own set, innit? And then the laptop maybe crash or whatever, and you can load it up and handle it. But like, when there's someone on the stage in front of you, that's when it takes on a different level of importance, innit? And you got to have every single angle covered. I take one USB in my bag now, just in case. But yeah, I've never had to use it. But I only really started carrying that around 6 months ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Before that, I was out here wild again, bro. Like, if my shit crashes, it's game over then. Uh-huh. Going home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, literally, that's how I was doing it. Trusting my laptop 100% completely. But with the way these processors are now and all these new Serato updates and stems and this and that, like, I don't even use stems in the club yet because I'm shook.
Yeah, my computer's not powerful enough.
I'm shook, even though it's been cleared by Serato itself and it's meant to run, and I know people that are running it. I'll only use that at home for now. I'm going to wait for like another update or...
I want to get involved so bad, but I'm just nervous that it's just going to completely railroad my laptop.
Bro, listen, don't get involved, mate. It's like crack, bro. Once you
I'm
start...
Ready. I'm ready to hit the Serato
I'm ready
pipe.
To hit the crack, yo.
I'm ready to light it up and get involved.
Man's about 700 edits deep, man. It's a problem. It's a problem.
I don't think I would make edits. I think I would just enjoy using it live.
Yeah.
And it would just, for me, it would just be a live thing. Because obviously, like we spoke about before, both me and you do this. Like, I already do the a cappella instrumental live remix, live mashup blend thing. But I can only do it with songs that have a cappellas available.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it's not always 100% clean, but... it's clean enough to be able to run something in the dance.
Yeah, if you have an instrumental to run in the background, though, it will cancel out all the tinny little hi-hats and stuff, and you effectively have an a cappella there anyway. It's nuts. I'm still scared. I haven't got a powerful enough laptop yet. I think I need to invest, but...
Go and find flipping four bags somewhere, mate. These new laptops, I priced them up the other day. It was $3,900. I was like, you can wait for another 6 months.
Price of a car. That's ridiculous.
Bro, it's sickening. And that's for one of the new ones, M1 Max Pro, souped up to the eyeballs. You know what I mean? Like two terabyte hard drive, all right through the roof. But yeah, bro, crazy.
Crazy.
Before we do go,
I do want to know any DJs that have different methods for arranging their Serato crates. Obviously, we were talking about Serato crates earlier in the episode. Any of you guys that have a different, or you think you have a more efficient method, just drop in the comments or hit us up on the socials, whatever, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. Hit us up and let us know your methods.
We'll start a thread. We'll open a thread on the Twitter, innit? And then people can add them on.
I'm just throwing this out there as an idea. We could do an IG live this week to discuss crate
and get functions. People get we could get DJs on and then they can show us the crate on the screens, innit?
Ooh,
that's not a bad shout.
Yeah, so we might possibly be on IG live this week. And I say this week, you might be listening to this 6 months from now.
I know. We've had a few international listeners join us this week. Some dudes over in Australia and that couple new Americans on board. Yeah, worldwide gang.
Yes, international. So we're currently the biggest DJ podcast in the UK. 2023, we're taking that to the world.
Yeah.
Biggest DJ podcast in the world. Imagine that.
Is this 3 weeks in a row or four?
Oh, mate, this is our third week.
Fucking consistency in your face, mate.
I'm so proud of us.
Three episodes.
That's because it's dry January. That's why. Imagine.
Wait until summer comes back around, bro. We're both on tour.
If we're still doing this in June. But.
What you done to me last summer, I might do to you this summer.
I'm sorry, bro. But I know you're going to be active.
Yeah, this it's about to get crazy. I'm going on tour in Feb, bro. End of Feb.
Look who.
Yeah, we outside. Anyway, yo, follow the ting anyway, guys. You know what it is. Talk Over Podcast on all socials.
No, Talk Over Pod.
Sorry. I don't even know
if we're still doing old school thing,
hashtag
Talk Over Podcast. If we're still doing that old school hashtag business.
No one does the hashtag no more, man.
No, I do. I still do when I'm talking about the pod. But, yeah, at Talk Over Pod on all the socials, TikTok, Insta. And of course, if you don't know, I spoke to someone earlier in the week, actually. I asked them if they listened to the pod and they said no, because they don't have Apple Music. They just check out the clips on TikTok and Insta. So I let them know quite rightfully that we are available on all streaming platforms. Amazon, yeah, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Apple Music, Spotify, everything.
We've got it in places over on the States, yeah, that we can't even access here. So, like,
yeah,
we can't,
so even in America, there's them American ones that you can't get in England. We're there as well. We are everywhere. So no matter how you listen to podcasts, just search Talk Over Podcast and we're right there on every single streaming platform. Stylo and Double.
Yep, Stylo, Stixilo.
Stixilo and Double.
Stixilo. Stixilo and Double.
Yeah, we have the worst outros.
Yeah, we're gone, man. Bye. Next week, innit? Safe.